I think the enemy lures us in with those struggles, but he traps us with shame and guilt.
Yes.
That is the lock on the door.
Yeah. Right.
And so I would say if you're listening today, know that you can let that part go and do what Jennifer said. Just get the help you need, whatever that looks like.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller, Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Hey, fourth chair friends. Thank you for listening to us. And we wanted to say that we are listening to you too.
Yes.
And this week's topic came directly from our Facebook community. If you are not a part of that yet, we'd love to have you. But we ask, what confession questions would you like us to answer? And a lot of them centered on self-control. So
it
people
did.
Said, you know what? I have a hard time with food or shopping or alcohol or working too much or whatever it is. It seems like we all have one area of our lives that just tries to get the best of us, and we can get stuck in that cycle. And so because of what you shared with us, that is what we're going to tackle today.
Yeah. You know, I think this is an important topic. So the confession question today is this: in what area do you struggle with self-control, and what does that look like? Here we go again.
Oh, my goodness.
So deep.
Well, okay. So I'm going to start with surface and then I'll go a little bit deeper. Okay. So my thing is I love sugar. I have a sugar addiction, and I know that I can kind of laugh that off, but like when we were meeting to talk about some of these things, I chose fruit because I still needed something sweet. But I have a tendency that when I love something, I love it a lot. So I really love cake, and I do not need to eat cake every day, you know? And so of course I exercise because I love cake, but there is a balance to that. And I've seen where it's gotten out of hand in my life. So I will say, yes, that sounds silly, but sugar is a thing for me. But another thing is just kind of that need to pull away and look to other things to distract me when I kind of feel out of control. And so that will be, I will keep myself super busy. And that is a defense mechanism, because if I stay still and have to think about what's really going on, then that's hard and I feel out of control. But sometimes I need to stop and deal with what's going on in my heart and in my life and be still.
Well, as we talked about that, Jennifer, we all had different ways that we responded to out of control, because sometimes you just want to numb it.
Yes.
And you're saying you kind of pull away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will, if life feels out of control for me, I want to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and honestly, I know that there's times that I need to sleep.
Right.
But if I'm in a place to where I just need to sleep and shut it all down, and it also means I'm not really dealing with it.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I think I tend to, it's ironic, but those of you who have been listening for a while probably won't surprise you that my thing I struggle with controlling is if I get really anxious, I just overwork. You know, I become a perfectionist and go over the details again and again. And I've gotten better at that. But I mean, I pushed myself to the point of burnout because of that.
Yeah.
Like, it was as addictive as I think a lot of other things are for people. And it can be hard because, you know, some things we're like, okay, that's probably not a good thing to be doing. But sometimes what we have trouble controlling, we actually get approval for.
Right. I was going to say, it looks good on the outside.
Yeah. And that is tricky, because the more I engage in this unhealthy behavior, the more atta girls I got for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that's part of why it took me so long to realize, you know what? It doesn't matter if this looks good from the outside, you know, and I was doing it because I thought it's what I should do, you know, also, but that if it is destructive to me personally, then it's not okay.
Or to your relationship.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a question I thought of when both of you were sharing, like, you know, God has said, like, have some control over your life. Like, we're, you know, and to be good stewards. So, and he's also given us good gifts like cake. So how do we know the difference between You know, where's that line?
I think it's balance. And yeah. I think that we know when we're unbalanced.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I do the same thing, Susie. I want to sleep. If I am going through something hard and I'm depressed, I want to sleep. But if it's a 20-minute nap or if it's every day I need 2 hours, then there's something off, yeah. you know? So if it's like, you know, I just kind of feel, you know, like stressed. And so I'm going to take a little nap yeah. and recover. But if it's like, I can't get out of bed, yeah. then I know like that's out of balance.
Struggle.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to flip this because when I look at my life and I ask this question, in what areas do you struggle with self-control? I'm going to flip this to say that where I really struggle is with too much control.
Yes.
Okay. So growing up in a home, and God has done an amazing healing in my relationships, in my home. I'm so proud of my family and what God has done in them. But when I was growing up and my heart was being shaped and my view of life was being shaped, it was out of control. And so I learned from a really young age, like I worked 2 jobs at the age of 14 because I was going to take care of Susie.
Yeah.
I learned at a really young age, 17, 18, 19, that if everybody else was out of control, then I was going to do my best. I was going to spin as many plates as I needed to be in control mm-hmm. so that my life didn't go down that road. The problem with that is that it can lead to controlling.
Yes.
Not just yourself, but your situation, your life, even what God has for you. Mm-hmm. And so my battle is not with self-control. My battle is with allowing self-control to ease.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
that
as you're talking, so much I'm picturing like a continuum in my mind, right?
Yeah.
So Susie, your side would look like be labeled extreme independence, uh-huh. you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to control everything.
My kids are listening to this last right now and they're just laughing.
And yeah. then on the other end of the continuum, I think would be like extreme indulgence.
Yes.
You know, yeah. the opposite of that. And then I think where God's calling us to is spirit-led self-control,
yeah. Yeah.
which is in the middle. Yeah. So this is new to me. Remember, right. I just asked a question about this.
yeah, yeah.
So I'd never thought about it that way, but I think that. So it would be yeah. helpful, you know, for everyone listening, for us to reflect in our hearts, you know, which end of that continuum
yes.
do I tend to go to?
Yeah.
And in what areas?
I yeah. have to allow myself to be vulnerable. I have to allow myself to fall, fail. Mm-hmm. I have to give myself permission to be human and make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that. I'm still learning it. I look back 10 years, 20 years, God has continued to grow me in these areas because it was a place of woundedness that brought me there. So to be able to say, you know what, this is going to be messy and that's okay is something that I have embraced fully, but it was not an easy path to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I was thinking about, okay, so what's going to help with us? Because I think we're, you know, what's going to help us with this? And that's like,
I know you're listening too, but we're on the couch.
This is not going to be long enough for us to really figure that out. But like, what would help us, you know, in this? And I think for me is saying, you know what, am I wanting to self-medicate? And do I need to take some time and really, like, do I need to pray? Or do I need to go for a walk instead of eating that third cupcake, you know? Because there are moments where it's like you're stressed out
sometimes
and you reach.
Need a cupcake.
Sometimes you need a cupcake, yeah. but you don't need the third one. So I think that when we're stressed and we're out of balance,
yeah.
we choose unbalance and it only makes us feel worse. So yeah. I think for me is like in this season where, you know what, I'm going to have a cupcake and I'm going to go for a walk, but I'm also going to pray or I'm going to schedule that appointment with that counselor because I need to work through something because I'm leaning towards something unhealthy,
yeah.
you know, to fix me or fix what's aching. And that's not going to work.
Yeah.
The cupcake's not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think letting go of shame and guilt mm-hmm. always helps me because I think, you know, Suze, this came from a place of woundedness, you said.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think whatever we're dealing with, it's ultimately about pain, mm-hmm. right? Like we're in pain and we want to stop being in pain.
Yeah.
Or we want to be protected from future pain.
Right. Yes.
So, you know, I think especially as Christians, we can look at ourselves and say, oh, I'm such a bad person, or I made a bad choice, or, you know, I just need to stop doing this thing. And if only it were that easy, you know. And so stopping and saying, you know what, this is a signal that mm-hmm. I am in pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no condemnation for right. those who are in Christ. So if That's you are right. listening and you are struggling with binge eating or shoplifting or an addiction to yes. alcohol or drugs or sex or porn or, you know, whatever it is that you think no one else could possibly ever struggle with that. Yeah. Just yeah. know, you know, that scripture says no temptation has seized us except what's common to man yes. and woman.
Yeah. yes.
So I think the enemy lures us in with those struggles, but he traps us with shame and guilt.
Yes.
That is a lock on the door.
Yeah. Right.
And so I would say if you're listening today, know that you can let that part go and do what Jennifer said. Just get yeah. the help you need, yeah. whatever that looks yeah. like.
Well, and something that one of my best friends says, Carrie, she always says there's shame in secrets. And so yeah, I've realized that, you know, if I'm struggling with something, it's going to really help for me to share that with someone who loves me and who's in my corner and who is, you know, just either a spiritual mentor or a friend, an accountability partner. So when I think about shame and secrets and that's what the enemy wants, he wants to silence us and think we're the only ones and trap us in that. So just to know, if I'm keeping this a secret, what if I need to share this with someone because I need help or they need help?
Yeah.
You know, where you're watching your loved one be out of control in right. an area.
Well, and I had to realize that control meant for me is that I was living by the don'ts instead of the do's.
Yes.
And there's Good. A really big distinction there. Mm-hmm. And so my don'ts were, don't go down that road. Don't be like that. Don't hurt that person. The don'ts were heavy.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm not that person.
You're not.
I'm me. And so giving myself permission to be who I am and then saying, what do the do's look like for me in this? Sure. I'm in my family tree. Alcoholism is a really big thing and it's pervasive. And I know that there are people. And hear my heart as I say this. I know that there are people who I love and who are friends that can have a social drink and it's no big deal. But in my family, alcoholism has destroyed so many lives. Mm-hmm. And so that's a don't for me.
Yeah.
But what can I do?
Right.
What can I do? I can be with friends who drink and it's not a temptation mm-hmm. to me because it's something that hurts my family, but I can have fun. I can laugh. I can be in an environment and trust myself that even though this is a don't for me, that there's 1,000 different do's for me that are mm-hmm. really healthy and good that I can step into and just put that up on the shelf and say, okay, that's a don't.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lead my life with don't do anything ever, yeah, always, so right. that you won't somehow become something that hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think legalism is actually on that list too.
Absolutely.
Of things we overindulge in. I'm yes. not saying, yeah, I don't
no,
see
no,
you
no.
Sins as legalistic
no.
at all.
No.
I was thinking of me in my younger years. I went yeah. through a period where I really used legalism to keep myself safe. And mm-hmm. that was my overindulgence.
Yeah.
I think religion, not relationship with Jesus, but religion can be an overindulgence.
Well, like, the don'ts, especially if you're living by the don'ts, because I'm telling you, a faith that is lived by the don'ts instead of the do's that Christ paid for us is disastrous.
It is
sad. It's sad. And I don't want that. Mm-mm. And it's a skewed view of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live that way. And I don't.
Right.
I don't.
Well,
but that's a good point.
It is a good point. And I know personally, I went into Bible college kind of wrapped in chains because I wanted to do the work of the Lord. And I came out even more uptight. I love what I learned. I learned some really good tools, but I had to slowly relax into God is fun. And there's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and there's liberty and there's joy. And there's all of these things that he wants for us. And we do not have to be wrapped in chains by our own perfection or man-made churchy things.
Yeah.
If it's scriptural, it's set in stone. If it's, you know, churchianity, then that's you know, we can throw it out the window a little bit, you know?
We can throw it out the window. We need to throw it out the window.
To throw it out the window.
Because that's not who Christ is. Mm-mm. So, man, again, we get on here and I just feel like we're bearing our souls, you know? And to be able to say there was a period of time, not in my faith, funny Funny enough, never in my faith, because it seemed like such freedom to me after being raised the way I was raised. Like it was so sweet and so good. But to be able to say as a parent or as a woman, you know, I don't have to have my guard up all the time. I will make a mistake. I will grow through it. I will learn through it. And I'm going to just go jump on the bed sometimes, or I'm going to let loose and laugh. And that's been a transition over years and years and years. And there's a healing there.
But it needs
to be addressed when we talk about self-control.
It does.
Yeah. It feels like we actually could have called this out slash in control. We're really talking about how both can get us in trouble. Like we can, you know, be out of control and that's not so helpful, but we can also be really, really in control and that's not so helpful.
Yeah.
So wherever someone is on that spectrum today, you know, whether they're saying I've been living the don'ts or I've been living it up, you know, what's a practical step that we can take when it comes to control in our lives?
Something that's just on my heart, and I feel this really strongly. I want to speak to the woman who is just trapped in shame and beating herself up. Girl, you are free and you are wonderfully made. Stop being so hard on yourselves. You made a mistake. There's a bounce back. There's a grace in Jesus. So I think for me, giving myself a grace, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not meant to be perfect. I need a perfect God who has me. And so I give myself a little hall pass to be flawed. And that's what I've needed more than anything, is to stop living in a shame cycle and give myself grace for when I make mistakes.
And then I think find someone else who can give you that grace on the days when you can't give it to yourself.
So good.
You know, because it is just shame and guilt come back. And I think we can get stuck. And I think too, just saying, try again, you know, the reality is all of us know what we're supposed to be doing and not doing. Like we know not to eat all the donuts on the, you know, free donut table. And yet what do we do? And so I think just acknowledging too that it happens, and what matters is we try again.
Yes.
You know, that we get back up and we try again. And if the last thing we tried didn't work, then try something new. Yeah. And let someone into that process with you.
Well, and I think for me, the 5 minutes or less is to be honest with ourselves. I had someone say to me at one time, this was a person that I was close to, and she was like on me. I don't even know. And I realized that it was a place of controlling, and I addressed it and I said, sis, you gotta back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, that's how I care. And I said, no, that's how you control. Mm. And so sharing her story, now I'm going to turn it on my own heart and say that if there's a time that I am overly involved and overly controlling, to be honest with myself that that's not caring. That's actually trying to keep ourselves from flipping out of control.
Yeah.
Be aware of that.
That's good.
And don't call it something it's not. And that way we can bring it to the Lord and just say, Father, I have a wounded place here. And it causes me to be controlling. And I think it comes from a place of caring, but you know it comes from a place of woundedness.
Yeah.
You shine a light on that. Help me do a little better in this area. We can grow.
Yeah.
And you know, too, I think I was just thinking that there may be someone listening today that they've never given Jesus control of their lives, you know, because they haven't really understood what that's about, or religion seemed, you know, only what they saw in the news, and they've been listening to us crazy women. And maybe they're saying, you know what, I want to give God control of my life. And so I feel like we should just say a little prayer if someone's, you know, in that place today and maybe like, I don't even know how to do that. You know? So God, we just come to you and we just acknowledge, whether we are saying it to you for the first time or for the millionth time, that we give you control of our lives.
Yeah.
That we acknowledge that you are our Savior, that we need you to be, because we all fall short. And we thank you for your unconditional love for us, that our past has been forgiven, our present is in your hands, and our future is full of hope because of what you have prepared for us. So we just renew that commitment, or make it for the first time, and just say, we want you to be the one in control of our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Best choice. ever.
Yes. Right? If you guys prayed that prayer and maybe it was your first time, will you send us a message on Facebook? Because we want to pray for you. We want to know how to support you. Definitely connect with us on Facebook, More Than Small Talk, because we love you. And this is why we do this. And so if that was you today praying that for the first time, we are so for you and excited for you. So next week, we're going to be talking about want to run away. And I think I'm feeling a little sweaty and want to do that right now.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about a resource. And it's actually, Holly, I say this, Fierce Hearted has been my best, most favorite book of yours for a long time, but it just got completely kicked out because she has a children's board book that has just been released that is beautiful to feel, beautiful to look at. It's beautifully written, but it's called Today and Always, This Is True, God Loves You. And Holly, when I held that book in my hands and I thought, if I had had this when I was a little girl and things were crazy and chaotic and that truth had been put into my heart from a young age that today and always, this is true, God loves you, that would have put that little girl's heart in a whole different direction. So this beautiful children's book has just come out, right? Yes. And it is available at all places. But I want you to look on Amazon. I want you to look at Holly's website at hollygirth.com and buy this for some child in your life or some child in your neighborhood or in your classroom and put this in that little one's hand so this truth can just soak in. I love
Thank you,
this
Suze.
Book
yes.
so much.
And I partnered with Dayspring to do it, so that's another place too.
Yeah. Okay, guys, you might feel out of control, but maybe listening to this.
You're thinking I'm not as bad off as I thought. Those other three ladies are way beyond.
We're glad you joined us. We'll see you next week. And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.